We're back here on In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples chatting here today with 51st District Representative Ron Hyland here. The legislative session getting underway. When do you guys officially go back?
Is it the start date is January 14th. That's the day we're sworn in by one of the judges from the Supreme Court.
Okay. And that same day is when we'll have a new governor. Laura Kelly is the governor-elect here, a Democrat, and she's going to be... It's going to be an interesting dynamic this year because she's a Democratic governor and we have a Republican-controlled House and Senate. How do you expect that dynamic to work here going forward?
Well, for the first few months, I don't expect to see any changes, and I'm speaking now from a legislator's perspective. We'll still have the bills come into our committees, and we'll go through that process and on the floor, and the Senate will do the same. I expect where we will see the effect of that party difference will be during the veto session. Let's say we pass a bill on taxes and we're saying we want to revert back and accept and use the federal tax breaks and all of that, which we in Kansas did not do. And so the Kansas did not keep those benefits that the feds gave them. What we'd like to do is go back and put those back in place so that the Kansas get to save more of their money. Now, if we pass that in both the Senate and the House with our number of votes required, and it goes before the governor and she vetoes it, then when we come back in May, that's when we deal with all of the vetoes that the governor's done. That's when we'll see the changes and the effects of that dynamic. We will have it, at that point, we'll have to have two-thirds majority to override the veto. And that'll be interesting. The whips in both the Senate and the House will be very busy trying to count votes to see on these different bills, whether it's tax, whether it's on the marijuana, all these things that have passed through both chambers, and we'll see how the governor handles that.
And I know you're one of the more conservatives in the legislature. Is that base still pretty solid, would you say?
Actually, on the House side, we picked up a few more seats. Do we have 63? No. But the last election sent a message throughout, and some of the folks that leaned over and voted more moderate, even liberal, on some of the bills are seeing that if they do that too much, then the voters will say, no, that is not how we wanted you to vote on these particular issues. And so we will see. Now, we've had some people jump from the Republican Party to the Democrat Party, both in the House and the Senate, and that really will not change anything, because if you look at their voting records, they were always on the other side anyway, so it really is not going to change that dynamic any.
Well, one thing that's going to be talked about a lot is going to be the education funding. It was last year, has been for quite some time here. Where do you see that conversation going here? I know they're going to ask for more funding.
Well, what happens, it's called the budget, the appropriations, and the state is on a two-year cycle. We budget for the next 2 years. Now, that's up to the governor. The governor's responsibility is to present a budget to the legislature within the first 2 weeks of when we start our session. And that's when we take that budget and we work through it and we either agree or disagree, make changes, whatever. And that will be the other thing during the veto session we'll have to deal with, is that budget. Now, the governor may elect to do only a one-year budget. I don't think she will. I think she was involved in all the process to change it to a two-year cycle, so it makes things a lot smoother to do a two-year. But she held her meetings with all of the agencies, and they asked for more money to get through the rest of this year, so up through June 30th of next year. And they asked for, I think it was $150 to $200 million more just to get through the year. So one of our first duties, we'll do what we call a rescission bill, where we come in and make changes and add more money in. And then after that, then the big budget, we'll have those big discussions and try to work through that.
Okay. Well, and I know that in talking to you in the past here, do we have a phone call? Okay, let's get to that first. Good morning, you're on In Focus.
Good morning, Merry Christmas to you, and thank you for standing up against that marijuana. I've been over to Colorado several times. My daughter lives there, and the homeless is just skyrocketed. But I do have a question for you. Over here in Pike County, the Paxico Bridge, we need to get that thing replaced. You know, you need to drive across that sometime when you're on your way to Topeka. And Wabunsee doesn't have any money, and Pike County can't pay for the whole thing. We kind of need your help. So, God bless you. Merry Christmas, and have a good day.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you. We have held meetings on that bridge, and actually we held one of the meetings at my house where we had representatives from both counties, and invited in, we had representatives from KDOT, and we talked about that bridge at great length. We understand money is the big issue, but by law, 87% of that bridge payment has to come from Pott County and the other 13 from Wabunsee County. But you're right, neither one have the money right now to do that. What we did find was that the federal government had some funds available, a special grant process, and KDOT volunteered to run that process and fill out all the forms, but there's still a disagreement on whether or not the bridge is required. And I do drive across that bridge. I know about that bridge. The rural communities, the businesses over in Bellevue and St. Mary's, they want to see that bridge rebuilt, a new one put in, whatever requires. And it is an artery that has been useful. Now, that is, by definition, a county problem, but the state offered to help out. As of today, yesterday, there's been no progress on the two counties and how they wanted to move forward on that. So until they decide how they want to move forward, I really can't help them at this point.
All right. Thank you for that question here. We're right up against the top of the hour here, so we're going to run out of some time here. But I guess what are some of the things you're looking forward to first here when you get going?
Well, for me, being chair of agriculture is exciting. I'm looking forward to it. That area, we oversee parks and wildlife operations and the Department of Agriculture operations. And I'd like to work with them. Let's do some more things that actually serve our people out in the area. One of the things, I'm also on the Rules and Regs Committee, which is an interim committee. And when they write regulations, they come in and they present those to us. The one that we did last week, Parks and Wildlife wanted $50 a person to visit the New Jerusalem Park, which I think is excessive.
All right. Well, Ron, we'll look forward to talking with you here during the legislative session. Thank you so much for coming out, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, and thank you.
Congratulations on that appointment to the Ag Committee.
Thank you.
Chair. That's terrific. It's 10 a.m. at News Radio KMAN.